Well, hello, hello, hello. We're back. We're back from our first break. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and we're here on the air. That's it. Should be easy for me to remember, but I forget quite often. That's my age. Happy birthday to me. Anyway, we've got our naturalist with us from Marion County, James Anderson. We're going to bring him back on, and we got some stuff we want to talk about. As soon as I get rid of this stupid music, I'm going to hold on for 5 seconds, and then we'll talk with James Anderson, the naturalist from Marion County. All right. Thank you. We're done with music. So, what's going on with the cicada?
Cicada.
I never figure that one out. It must be Italian the way I'm pronouncing it or something.
That's all right.
It's cicada.
Yes, cicadas.
Not cicada. Okay.
I don't know 100% why we're not seeing the 17-year-old cicadas in Marion County like other places are here in Ohio. My prediction, and it's just my thought.
Are they all 17 years old?
Well, it just depends on where you are. It can be 13, 15, or 6, or
right,
17-year-old. They're all the same
but
species.
The 17.
Yeah. Based on the map, it's the 17-year-old ones. But yeah. I'm thinking, especially like on the western side of the county, it's really open. And the problem is the cicadas like to be under trees.
Oh.
Now, eastern Marion County, you know, we do have a little bit more trees out there.
Yeah, we do.
So, I'm still baffled of why we're not seeing them like Delaware County and southern Ohio. I mean, they're out by...
Delaware County is having them already?
Yes. Oh. My friend, she's a naturalist at the Preservation Parks in Delaware, and she's been getting footage of the 17-year-old cicadas around their areas.
Well, I told you that I'm absolutely certain I saw one flying in the air. They're not a handsome flyer. They're kind of clumsy in the air. But I'm sure I saw one in the air, and I did find two little holes in the ground out in my backyard.
Okay.
Like they supposedly do when they come out of their ground.
Yes, and boy, the 17-year cicadas, they can be in the millions.
Yeah.
And they said even and just in a square acre, they can have up to 3 million in one little plot.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun to be out there.
Oh, I know, right?
And they don't hurt you, though, right?
No,
there's
no.
They don't have teeth.
No, they don't have teeth, but they have this, like, looks like straw-like mouth.
Yeah.
And they said sometimes they may mistake you as a tree, and they may try to tap you. But I don't think it'll penetrate skin or anything.
Okay, I'm a pretty fat tree, so yeah, I can understand that.
So, but they're full of fat right now, and because they're trying to breed and lay their eggs and
lots
die.
Lots of energy.
Yeah, a lot of energy. So a lot of wildlife, squirrels, chipmunks, a lot of the insect-eating animals, they are taking advantage of this, and their population is just going to skyrocket.
Really?
Yes.
Because they will be so well fed.
Yes, but then the problem will be in the next couple of years their population's going to crash.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So
I feel sad. Sorry for that.
It's just kind of that fluctuation in nature with the predator-prey relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is nature.
Oh yeah.
It's been going on for eons.
Yes.
So yeah. Now, if you fly or if you're driving your car and you drive into one of those swarms, you better slow down, because I did this 17 years ago, and we had it down in southeastern Ohio, where I was living at the time, and we had a swarm that I went through. It just got black.
Yeah.
It was so heavy.
There's
now,
a lot
it
of them.
Didn't last very long, you know, a few seconds, but scared the heck out of me.
I'm just researching.
Okay.
I was going to show you the sound of what they sound
like.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
people will like to hear this. I think you'll recognize it, because if you live longer than 17 years, you heard them last time.
Yep, and 2004 is when they were out last
now,
time.
Now, they were pretty strong in
they
2004,
were.
Weren't they?
Yeah, I was in middle school when that happened.
That was the year I moved here.
Oh, okay. And, they were pretty everywhere, pretty abundant.
Okay. Prolific.
Prolific, thank you.
Sorry.
Yes, I couldn't think of I'm stumbling on words today.
My father was an English professor as well as a minister, and he used to correct us all the time and tell us the word we really wanted to use, and it was so annoying. But anyway, they're not terribly big. They're probably no. an inch and a half long, maybe 2 inches, some of the big ones. But if they run into you, they kind of, you can feel them hit you.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the mayflies up in northern Michigan.
They're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And you'd walk through a swarm of them, and it was just like getting kind of a very soft massage because they didn't have body weight like cicada.
Yes.
Now, cicada have some body weight.
That they do.
Yeah. And a lot of people eat cicada.
And I've heard of that. They have protein, but you do have to watch out. I watched this, I forget where it was, but if they're infected with a certain type of fungus, they actually can hold psychedelic properties. But then,
ooh, there are people looking for those guys.
I think if you flip them under their abdomen and you see a really bright white, it's that infection.
Oh, now see, you're going to be charged with something really bad for.
But the problem is they hold too many toxins that can really damage your brain.
Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe in the next break I'll have to find it. But yeah.
We don't have a break, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Timothy Leary would have loved those. Do you remember Timothy? No, you don't remember.
No, I do not.
Timothy Leary was the psychedelic master back in the 60s and 70s. And you were supposed to get high instead of making war or something.
Oh, okay.
And he was very involved in LSD.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Well, he was... Yeah, he was interesting. I guess that's the word. I was young at that time and very susceptible to people like him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want people to think that I was a big old druggie. I did a little bit of pot and I did a little LSD, but not very much. So
you were a hippie, Glenn?
I was a hippie, kind of a hippie, yeah. Yeah. I liked the lifestyle.
Yeah.
I was afraid to participate in it, but I liked it. Oh, well. Okay, so now if we... I assume that if Delaware County is getting them, we will eventually get some of them.
Right? I would say so, especially around the Waldo region.
Oh, since you know that's south?
Yeah, southern Marion County.
Now, what is their habitat that they live in?
They just like kind of more open areas, but with trees. Okay. They bury themselves underneath the trees, and they'll absorb the sap.
Oh.
As they're in that nymph stage underneath the ground.
Okay. So if you have mainly open land, you don't need to worry about it so much? Or I suppose they just fly everywhere.
Yeah, well, like Big Island, that would be too open for them.
Yeah,
Not enough trees.
Okay.
Because during that adult form, as they're breeding, you know, they are grabbing nutrients from the tree with that straw-like mouth. They're grabbing that sap.
Well, now, I was looking at a map of where they're supposed to be, and Marion County was kind of iffy.
Yeah, we're on that border, aren't we? Yes.
So that's good. That's good for guys like me who are scared of animals. And I shouldn't say I'm scared of animals. I love animals. I just don't want to...
They're loud. They're about as loud as a lawnmower.
Yeah,
and just imagine having thousands of them.
Now, wasn't it you that told us last time that they could get up to like 100 decibels of sound?
Yeah, or close to it, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes.
120 is dangerous to your ears, so 100 is pretty high.
Yeah, and just imagine, having a whole bunch around you.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to have a whole bunch around. I'll be in my house if they come like that. Is that what most people do? They just go in their house and wait?
I think so.
It doesn't last too long.
No, it's only about
a week or two.
Two to three weeks.
2 to 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been in my house a lot longer than that since COVID, right? So. All right. Well, that's what we got. What we have to look forward to is if they come up north, come from Delaware. Now, as we're driving down through Delaware, will we notice that difference?
Yeah, you'll probably will hear them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So if you want to hear what they sound like, because your stupid app wouldn't work.
I know it wasn't. It wasn't working.
If we want to hear them, head down to probably Delaware State Park.
Yeah, you could do that, or Alum Creek.
A lot of trees down there.
Yes, right? Yes.
Now, do deer and larger mammals eat them?
Not deer.
Okay.
But bears. Bears would take advantage.
Bears would eat
them? Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised. A good chunk of bears' diet when it comes to animal matter is insects.
Oh, be darn. I thought it was all berries.
it's about 75% of their diet is vegetation.
A lot of people are scared to death of black bear. And black bear are really pretty gentle.
They are.
Unless they have their babies around them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're more likely to be attacked by a dog than a bear.
Is that right?
Or a person. Yeah, you're more likely to be attacked by a person.
Yeah, in Ohio, you might definitely say that. I don't know why we've been having so many human-on-human problems.
Yes,
but we have. All right. That's the next thing that naturalists are going to have to get involved with. How are we going to make human-on-human relationships better?
I don't know.
The Tallgrass Trail helps.
Yeah.
Because people go out there and they relax. And if you haven't been out to the Tallgrass Trail, you got to go. My wife and I go. We aren't big hikers,
yeah,
but I think we go at least 5 times a year.
Do you?
Yeah. And it's just, we only do the first mile. Sometimes we get out maybe a mile and a half, but that's about as far as we go. But it's so quiet.
It is.
And nice. You don't hear, well, you do hear the trains from a distance.
You do.
You don't hear the mechanical noises that you hear in the city.
Yes,
the
cars absolutely. And we're not that far away from the city.
No, we're not. And what is it? How far is it? Well, I'm going to tell people how to get there. The way I go there is I go to Stimson Avenue, head out to Logan Tire. Is it Logan Tire? Turn left at Logan Tire and go maybe a mile.
Yeah.
Mile and a half. And it's on the left side of the road.
Yep.
How far out would you say it is from downtown, Marion?
From downtown, I would say we're probably about 3 miles.
Yeah.
About two or three.
It's not very far at all. You could actually walk it if you really had to.
Yeah, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have walked that far. I really enjoy going out there. My wife enjoys going out there. And people are very friendly on
That's
the
good.
Trail. You don't have people getting mad at you for... make sure you curb your dog, but you should.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
But you don't have people being rude to you out there on the trail. At least we haven't.
That's good.
Yeah, we had to have a good time. Now, is the shelter there, is it open every day?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
So I've never gone in it except for when you were taking tours.
Oh, are you talking about the inside portion?
Yeah.
Okay, so no, sorry.
Okay.
So the inside portion is only when I'm doing programming or what. And then after June 2nd, when the ban is lifted, I'll be able to do that because at the time I was only allowed one other person because of the square footage and how small it is.
Yeah. So after June 2nd?
Because that's when the health mandate laws are being lifted here in the state of Ohio, Marion.
So are you going to get more active in your program?
Yes, and I brought my calendar with me.
Well, let's go over a little bit of that. Why don't we? We're a little early. Usually we do this we'll do it at the end as well as now, but tell us what's coming up.
All right, so some exciting things are coming back for 2021 for the summertime that we weren't able to do last year because of the whole COVID restrictions. We'll be doing our night hikes, our outdoor preschool program.
Wait a minute, I got to stop you.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did night hikes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you should come to
one. I have never gone on a night hike.
I think
that sounds like fun.
Oh, yes, we do experiments in the dark.
Oh, you do?
We do.
Do you see a lot of owls?
I will give you a clue. Yes, that's one of the things we do is we do try to call on owls. Sometimes we can get them, and other times they're quiet.
Okay.
So it just depends on the night.
Okay, I didn't know you did
that. But we do experiments with your eyes. We do one in your mouth with your ears. So we use all of our senses.
Now, is it true that if you use orange or amber red lights, it doesn't affect your vision?
Yes.
And animals can see better if you don't use bright light?
Yeah, and that's with my description for the night hike, where we want people to bring red flashlights only.
Okay, red.
Now, there are those headlamps that that can turn white or red. If you can't find one, this is the redneck version. Just get a red tablecloth from the Dollar Tree and just get some duct tape or rubber band and put it around the light. Just anything to dim that white light down.
Yeah.
Because as you were mentioning, the red light is better for our nighttime.
But red specifically. Yes. I mean, even if you dimmed it down with blue, it wouldn't be as good as if you had red, right?
Yeah, you got to have red.
Okay.
Right. So, cool. But yeah, it's a good time. We of course again we didn't do that last year, but I'm hoping this year, you know, we'll get some people out. Our night hikes are usually very successful. The most I've had is about 50.
Have you ever had anybody wear night vision stuff when they're
not here at Tallgrass Trail, but I've at other places I've worked, someone did bring some night
type of
goggles,
fun.
And we did get to look through them, and so that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It really is an odd look.
It is.
I remember it must have been just coming about when I was in basic training.
Okay.
And we got to look through those, and I thought, boy, that's really weird. It's like looking at ghosts.
It was. Yeah.
Okay, it's probably a lot better than it was back then. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. So June 4th, we're having our night hike at Tallgrass Trail. This will start at 9:30 p.m. So, again, please bring a red flashlight.
Now, that's after the break of June 2nd, so you don't need to call ahead and make...
Yes. And that's bring a great point up, Glenn. So, yes, because of the mandate's being lifted, yeah, we're not doing registration. The only one that we are requiring is the outdoor preschool program, Kiddos at the Park, because we're trying to cap it at 15, because in 2019, I mean, we had 20, 25 kids.
Yeah.
And
hard to take care of two, let alone 25.
Yes. So we're going to cap it to 15. So that one, yes, you will have to register. And that's just through us. That's not through the health department or anything.
Gotcha.
So that, again, you can do this through Facebook or our office phone number. But, yeah, so we do it on Fridays. We do it for about an hour. We pick a theme each Friday, and we do some type of game, activity, and craft. So we just it's a great way to get kids out into nature. Sure. It's geared for 3 to 5-year-olds. So, yes, if you have ones a little bit younger or a little bit older, they're more welcome to participate. But it's geared for that preschool age.
I assume parents should come with them.
Yes, yes, an adult has to be present.
All right.
You
don't want to be a babysitter.
Well, since we're not a credited preschool place, we're legally not allowed to hold kids. So,
gotcha.
So that's why, yes, an adult has to be present for the program.
Yeah, so you can get a lot of trouble for holding kids.
Yes. All right, so June 11th is our outdoor preschool program, Kiddos at the Park. That's from 10 to 11:30 a.m. June 12th, the Exploratorium here in Marion, they're doing a 5K out at Tallgrass Trail.
You're going to have to tell me what the Exploratorium is.
So, like COSI? You know, COSI.
Yeah, sure.
So it's kind of that same concept. So it's getting kids engaged and play through science.
Is
math.
Does it have a location?
Yes, it's where the old library used to be here in town.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I can't remember what street is that. Main Street, thank you. Yeah. It's a really, really cool place. They got a lot of great activities and a lot of different theme rooms. They have a nature room. That's my favorite room.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know we even had that.
Yeah, it opened up, I want to say it was in 2019, 2020, but then obviously with COVID, that kind of put a damper on things.
I'm going to have to get somebody from that to come in and do a show for
you. Yeah, I'll send you the contact information.
Okay, good.
So, but yeah, it's a really cool place. So yeah, they're coming out to Tallgrass Trail. They're doing a 5K called Nature's Calling. There's a check-in at 9 a.m. The kids dash starts at 10. Now they are requiring a $25 registration fee for adults, and I think as long as there's a kid with that adult, the kids are free.
Okay.
To register, please contact the Exploratorium at their website, www.exploratorium.org.
So I take it the Exploratorium is using that as funding for their business.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, good.
Yep. Okay. June 18th is our Kiddos at the Park outdoor preschool program from 10 to 11:30 a.m. June 22nd, we're doing a morning bird watching program at Pleasant Township Park at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Where is Pleasant Township Park?
You know where Pleasant School is?
Yeah.
It's right across.
Oh, okay.
Right there at the tennis court.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I know where it is.
Directly across. Okay. So, yeah, Pleasant Township Park is not owned by us, by the Marion County Park District, but we partner along with them with different projects and programs. And I have never done a morning bird watching program there, and I always say every year I was going to do it, and I never did.
There are trees around there.
Oh, yeah, tons of trees. So I highly recommend it if you really like to go birding or what. It's a really cool place to go.
Okay.
A lot of cool different environments, so different birds. I will be very curious to see what we find there. Then June 24th, we'll be back with you, Glenn, From 10 to noon. And then June 25th is our last one for the month, our Kiddos at the Park Outdoor Preschool Program from 10 to 11:30 a.m. And then later on that night, we're doing a night hike at Tallgrass Trail at 9:30 p.m. And then we'll be at the Marion County Fair from June 28th to July 3rd. So come see us.
Marion County, I'm looking forward to
it. I'm not 100% sure where we're going to be, but if we've been in the past, we're going to be at the by the grandstands on the main alley.
Grandstands on the main alley.
Yeah.
Okay. I know where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. On the, yeah. Very nice. Right. That's where everybody is, right? It's right down in the main.
Yes.
Main area.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to head out that way too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always fun. I used to be quite involved in the credit union that I worked at. I would buy critters,
yes.
Animals for, from the,
from the livestock sale.
Livestock.
You told me about your story about. You
know. Oh, I've got all sorts of stories, but yeah, that one that will probably be announced on the air again. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it. I've done it too many times. There are a lot of kids that do a lot of things with critters, like we've been talking about, that you see in the buildings around there.
Oh, yeah. I used to do that.
Oh, is that right?
And well, not in Marion County, but I did in Delaware County.
Yeah, so...
At 4-H and FFA.
Yeah, all right. Well, you encourage that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's what we're going to do this whole month. You sound like you're probably pretty tired by the end of the summer.
Oh, yeah.
You get a lot of work out. Now, do you do all of these things yourself, or do you have help?
My wife, she's a big helper.
Of course she is. Probably a non-paid helper.
Yeah, especially for the preschool program. For the longest time, I didn't want to do it, and she really encouraged me, and now I really enjoy doing it.
You have a little guy yourself.
Yeah, and I think that definitely helps me, because before then, I had no experience with kids at that age.
But. I bet you're a good person with little guys.
Oh, yeah, they're a fun bunch.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, they can be a little crazy.
You didn't know my kids. Anyway. All right. Well, anything else we got going that we need to talk about? We got about 20 minutes, so we got to.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about the hummingbirds.
Oh, yeah.
I know people want to attract orioles. So there are actual oriole feeders that you can use, but you can just use the same recipe for hummingbirds, the sugared water recipe. But then oranges, just cut them in half.
I was going to say, can't you just nail an orange to a tree and they'll come and eat out of that?
Yeah, you can do that. Some people do grape jelly, but the problem is when it gets warmer, it spoils fast.
Oh,
so you always
have
to constantly change it out.
Yeah, now, how would they know that there's a piece of orange nailed to a tree in your house, in your yard?
They just probably investigated. They're probably just intrigued with the bright color.
Yeah, it's the color. Not the smell.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, okay. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put a piece of orange. Now, would it also work with grapefruit?
No.
Because I can't have grapefruit. No. When you're a heart patient, they tell you not to eat grapefruit. So
I know you can do oranges, tangerines.
Okay.
What's that other one that's like, starts with an N? Nectarines.
Okay. Now they like the flavor of them, right? I mean, it's not that they go for the seeds of that.
Right? No, no.
It's the whole fruit they eat.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes, boy, I've had some people that will put a whole orange out and later, you know, in the morning, and then in the night, it's gone. You know,
how do they get through the outside?
Well,
they cut it in half or something.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right. Yeah. You got to cut it in half, but the pulp is all gone. I mean, they'll just peck and peck at it.
I might do that. Just as I get an orange occasionally that gets a little overripe, slice it in half and leave it out in the backyard. Right?
Yeah.
Of course, if I leave it on the ground, the squirrel will eat it.
Oh, yeah. Now, kind of like with the hummingbird feeder, just keep in mind as it gets warmer.
Don't leave it too long.
Yeah, don't leave it too long or they'll get a little drunk.
Yeah.
Now, a little ferment.
Can it kill them?
Yes.
It can. Be careful.
Especially with hummingbirds, with the hummingbird feeders. Yeah, it can really kill them.
So what was the temperature again?
For hummingbird feeders, it's It's about 80 degrees when you need to change it about every other day.
Okay.
And then when you get close to 90, you have to change it every day.
So I'm probably need to go change my hummingbird stuff because it got up to 88 yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I know. You got to go out.
Oh, my goodness. But it's real close. It's just by my back door. It's not so... Man, I haven't even seen it. I have to go change it, and I haven't even seen one yet.
But, yeah.
Now, the neat thing about my son's place, my youngest son out in California, they live at the vineyard.
Yeah.
And apparently that attracts hummingbirds like they're going out of style.
Yeah.
And they fight like mean to each other. And they... dive bomb each other.
Oh, yeah. Hummingbirds here will do that, too. And I've seen the females. It's not just the males. The females can be aggressive and chase males out.
How do you know the difference?
So
they're flying so fast, you can't turn them over.
It's the markings. The males have the bright or sometimes dull red underneath their throat, and the females don't.
Now, we only have two types of...
We mainly have one type, but we have a rare visitor called the rufous hummingbird.
Okay. We've got a phone call. Let's go to the phone and see what they have to say, all right? Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hey, I just wanted to give you a little tip on hummingbirds.
Good, let's hear it.
My wife has been doing the hummingbirds for about 10 or 12 years, and what she does is she ups the recipe a little bit.
Okay.
She does, instead of doing a 1 to 4, she does a 1 to about 2.5 to 3.
Okay, it's more sugary then.
Yeah. Yeah, and she has 4 hummingbird feeders in our yard, and usually by the first week in June, we have so many hummingbirds that we never have to change it out because it's empty by nightfall.
Oh, my goodness. How wonderful.
All 4 of them.
Yeah,
all 4 of the feeders. They'll drink them dry.
Wow. Oh, amazing. My. So they have a sweet tooth, apparently.
Yeah, it seems to work.
Okay, now, I'm not going to ask you exactly where you live, but what part of town are you? Are you out?
I'm actually about 7 miles north of Mount Gilead. I live in northern Morrow County.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we have the 4 hummingbird feeders, and then we have 5 regular bird feeders. And I'll tell you what, we spend the money, but we buy the premium seed. We buy the top-of-the-line seed.
Oh, yeah. I bet your birds love you.
Oh, man, it's got the peanuts in it, and it's got the fruit in it.
I might have to come out there.
Yeah, well, we get a great variety of birds. It's amazing the variety that we get.
So when I go buy the bird seed, that's the name of the bird seed is economy. That's probably not a good thing, right?
It's not a good thing. I mean, you'll get all the common birds.
Yeah.
But if you want to see, you know, some of the other ones, you got to step it up a little bit.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what type of birds do you get that eat like peanuts?
Well, we've got 3 different kinds of woodpeckers that we attract, and my wife knows the birds better than I do, but some of the, I don't know, I think, you know, some of the grosbeaks or some of those other ones maybe like those peanuts.
Okay.
I mean, you can look out our window, and there'll be 10, 12, 15 different birds there at any given time, different varieties.
Oh, yeah.
She knows them all. I'm still trying to figure them out.
Well, don't ever go tell people that your wife's for the birds. That doesn't work very well.
I think it's too late. I think I've already done that.
Oh, my. Well, I bet you were asleep on the couch then. All right. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Too.
And give them more sugar, apparently,
absolutely.
It sounds like.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for your call. Have a great day.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. What a great
it makes sense. Yeah,
that. It does. Now, the thing that I question is, if you're raising the sugar, I know my dentist and my doctor probably wouldn't want my sugar to be raised.
Well, birds don't have teeth.
Oh, yeah, true.
So they don't have to worry about that.
But is there any detrimental thing that might come from having too much sugar?
Well, like we talked about earlier, they burn so many calories.
Especially
a hummingbird.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I forget what's the statistic. I think they can burn up to 300 or 400 calories in a few minutes.
Don't they, like, flap their wings several hundred times in a few seconds?
Yes.
Yeah. So, To heck with that.
Yeah.
I'd be skinny if I was doing that, right? Right.
Yeah, probably. And people don't realize they do eat other things. They don't eat just nectar. They do eat insects, small like gnats, bees, wasps. Okay. Well, because you have to have protein. Problem about nectar is just sugar water. So
now if. Yeah, so like if an ant would get in on your hummingbird feeder,
yeah,
eat the ant.
Yeah, I have seen. I've not done this before, but I have heard of people putting out like bananas and rotten fruit. So then when gnats get by, that's another way on how they attract hummingbirds into their yard.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
So I'll have to experiment, see if it works.
Yeah, I might do that too, because my wife always lets her bananas go absolutely black before she finishes. She eats about an inch a day. And maybe I'll throw that out there and see it, and that might...
But hang it up.
Oh, hang it, yeah, because of course...
They're not ground-dwelling birds.
And the squirrels would be on those like... white on rice,
But then I also know butterflies will take advantage of that.
If really?
You put in like watermelon, bananas. Oh,
again,
yeah,
you'd probably have to hang.
To hang it. But for the butterflies, you could put it on the ground.
Yeah, they can find.
They'll extract the juices.
I'll be darned.
So yeah, that's where you attract some birds and butterflies to your property.
What a great call that was! Thank you for calling in, by the way. And we will. I'm going to change my... I got to change it today anyway because it got so warm yesterday. I've had it out for almost a week now. So
And the thing you need to do, too, like we were talking about earlier, about at your son's vineyard, you know how they were fighting all the time. If that's an issue on your property, buy multiple feeders and sprawl them out.
Oh,
don't put them all in the same spot. I know we like putting it next to our windows because that's obviously an easy spot to see them. But the problem is even if you had two or three, they're really close to each other, you still will have a female or male. They'll say, no, it's mine, you know, and they'll still dive bomb each other. So if you sprawl it out on your property, that helps with competition.
Well, I bought a bird feeder to add to my many now. I bought one that actually has suction cups, so you can put it right on the window.
Yeah.
They don't like that one very much.
Oh, okay.
I think they see us, and they don't want to get too close to it. Now, my wife was afraid that they would start banging into the window. They don't.
Oh.
They see the bird feeder, and they see, and they go to the perch. They don't like to be that close to humans.
No.
And my wife's in the kitchen a lot, and she has a certain television show she has to watch, and so I make her go out into the kitchen to watch it on the TV out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is cool. We're learning a lot about critters that we can attract. Now, are there other critters that we can attract to our backyard that we would like to have in our backyard? I mean, of course you can get raccoons.
Oh, yeah.
But
birds and butterflies, those are, seems to be the types of wildlife people want. But when I do a program called Human Wildlife Conflicts, and I say when you attract wildlife like birds and butterflies, you're going to attract other wildlife.
Of course
like,
you are.
Like raccoons and opossums and skunks. And so that's just kind of the disadvantage, you mean.
I like having the squirrels.
Yeah.
They're kind of fun to watch.
Well, I'm glad you recognize, you know, that they're good to have around, because a lot of people don't want any squirrels on their property.
Why?
Well, they can be a nuisance. They can be a pest. They can damage feeders. You've got like a wooden deck or whatever, that you know they'll gnaw at it because since they're
put on your big boy panties. Come on.
Well, they can cause damage.
Yeah, I can understand, but so could birds, I suppose.
Some like woodpeckers. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do a lot of woodpeckers really damage trees a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I've never seen a woodpecker hole.
Oh, you haven't?
Not that I know of. And yet I've heard woodpeckers right outside. Well, maybe that's why my tree in the front yard is starting to die on one side.
Oh, okay.
But
So when the woodpecker, when he's landed on the tree, he can feel the vibrations, and so he pinpoints where the most vibrations are coming from, and then go at it.
So he's feeling the critters that are underneath the bark, and then he goes for them.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was just tapping SOS to a girlfriend.
Well, sometimes they do that.
Is that right?
Yeah. When you hear that constant that drumming, that do-do-do-do-do-do-do, just, you know, constantly, that's usually the mating call. But when you hear a peck, like every once in a while, and there's a break, and you know, a little peck again. That's usually that they're trying to find.
Checking, yeah. It's almost like he's. You can tell he's not being insistent. He's looking. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, we're getting a little close to the end of this show. We've had a really good show.
Oh, we have.
We've got about 8 minutes. And do you have any other things that you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Yeah. Okay. Just last night, a friend of mine was at Dawgrass Trail, and right. he sent a picture to me. He was a snapping turtle laying eggs.
Oh, laying eggs?
Yep. It's the time of year that a lot of our turtle species will be laying eggs.
How did he get so lucky to see it laying eggs?
Just right time.
Right time, right place.
Yeah.
Now, where do they lay their eggs? On the bank?
So, depending on the species, like the one last night, it was there on the gravel on the trail.
Oh!
The problem with that is, since it's such a hard material, they can't dig deep.
Yeah.
Most turtles will dig at least 2 to 3 feet into the ground and then lay their eggs. I would only say they could probably do about 1.5 to 2 feet, which isn't deep enough. And then, unfortunately, A, it may not stay warm enough, and B, predators like raccoons, sure. skunks, opossums will come by and usually tear it up.
But you really don't want to go out and move them, do you?
No,
no. Because the mom's going to leave them alone after you touch them anyway, right?
Well, yeah, because she has no parental duty. She's just laying her eggs, and then she's like, okay, kids, gone, enjoy your life.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yep. Alligators are about one of the very few reptiles that have parental duties.
Really, they do.
Yeah. You wouldn't think an alligator, but...
No, they're such mean-looking things. Yeah,
yeah. But a lot of our other reptiles, they just lay the eggs or give life birth, and they say, okay, well, you're off on your own.
Well, that's good. That means less of them will live, and I'm not a big fan of reptiles. So. No, that's terrible to say. Okay, so the turtle laid its eggs on the gravel part. Why didn't it know that that wasn't very soft? Or do they just not care?
I don't think it's they don't care. I just think she probably didn't know.
Okay.
And unfortunately, again, a lot of them get buried up, or people unfortunately come by and say, oh, look, there's a cool nest, and they may disturb it. And in some turtle species, the temperature will actually help determine the gender.
Oh.
So usually on the bottom layer of your turtle nest will be more females, and the top layer will be more males.
Huh.
So somehow, I took herpetology a while back when I was in school, but for turtle species, temperature can affect gender.
You're reminding me of a Big Bang Theory show where they're talking about the heat of your underwear.
Oh,
it can depend. I laughed about that. Okay, I'm sorry. That was just me. I'm having a moment.
But while we're talking about turtles,
sure.
You know, they are going to be traveling across the road.
Yes.
And I'm hoping maybe next month I can bring a turtle in. But keep your eyes out.
Now, if you see a turtle wandering around, it isn't so dangerous to pick one up and move it over where it's safe, right?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. And I always tell people, first off, make sure you're safe. You know, if you're in a dangerous intersection or somewhere where, you know, visibility can be a little iffy, I say just leave it alone.
Yeah.
But as long as, you know, you think it's a safe area, then yeah, help the turtle. Now, pick it up and take it to the direction it's going, because a lot of times people take it to the opposite direction, and the turtle's like, no, I want to go there.
Yeah.
And they'll end up going back on the road.
Yeah, he started out with a plan.
Yeah.
You're just disrupting it, right?
Yeah. And then, unlike some species, like snapping turtles, a lot of people pick them up by the tail. Well, you don't want to do that.
How do you pick a turtle up?
Because snapping turtles, I mean, they have a good, like, foot-long tail.
Oh, they can flip around and bite you, right?
On some of the species, and depending on how close your hands are. But unfortunately, when you pick them up, it will dislocate their backs and their hips.
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
And so, you know, that can be very harmful.
What's the best way to pick a
on the
turtle?
On the very back of the shell, pick it up and walk with it if it's too heavy. But if it's light enough, like the little painted turtles, just pick it up and carry it.
Yeah. Now, again, I'm not a big fan of picking up animals, but I have picked up turtles.
Yeah.
And I usually pick them up by the back of the shell. And is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But just don't do it by the tail.
I am not going to pick up a big turtle. He can get run over by a truck, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, soft shells, they have really long necks, and if you grab them by the back, they'll come around and they'll bite you. I learned that the hard way.
Oh, no.
But for the most part, for snapping turtles, as long as, you know, your hands are clear there in the back by their back legs, they can't reach around, for the most part. Now, the really big ones, that's a different story.
What should you do if you're bitten by a critter?
By, like, any critter or just turtles?
Well, let's talk about turtles first, and then we'll go to other critters.
Okay, so for turtles, like snapping turtles especially, they're one of the few animals that they have to go down all the way in order to release. So
they have to unratchet.
Yes. So the problem is when you're being bit, what's the first human reaction? You're going to pull back.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to cause the damage. A lot of people think that snapping turtles can automatically bite off your fingers and toes. They don't have enough powerful bite to do that. Now, the alligator snapping turtle does, but that beak is like a knife. So, again, as you're pulling, you're cutting your flesh.
You're doing it to yourself.
Yeah. Basically.
But, wow.
I've heard of some people, like with fishing, they had to cut the head off. I don't want to do it, but if it's not going to come out easy, you may have to go to that result. But, like, for other, like the painted turtles, it's going to hurt, but... I mean, they're done, and then you can just release. Yeah, they'll let go.
But are there diseases that a turtle would carry?
Yes, salmonella.
Oh.
In some cases.
So what should you do to protect yourself?
So definitely, if you get bit, or if you're touching a turtle, just wash and sanitize your hand.
Okay.
Make sure you clean water, soap, rubbing alcohol.
Okay.
But of course, when you get into other animals, like raccoons and
skunks
and
opossums. Yeah, let's talk about mammals. What if you get bit by a raccoon?
Now, that's where it can get a little tricky because, of course, you know, they carry some other diseases like rabies and distemper.
Yeah.
Some people say they want you to capture it because then you take it to the hospital wanting to test it. But
that's not so easy.
Yeah, that's not easy. So as soon as you get bit, go to the hospital, go to urgent care, and have them look at it because, you don't know if they're carrying rabies.
If you get pecked by a bird, is there something you should do?
Oh, just clean the wound.
Okay, all right. They probably aren't carrying anything, or
for the most part, no. Okay. I mean, there's always a chance of a disease, but nothing quite fatal like rabies or what.
All right, we got 1 minute to go. What do you do if you get bitten by a snake?
By a snake? Are we talking about a venomous or a non-venomous?
Let's talk non-venomous. Okay. Because we have mainly non-venomous.
Okay, so it is going to hurt. It's just going to be a pinch. But again, you do want to clean it because they do carry bacteria. Now, depending on the person, you could be fine and get bit and you're okay with the day. But then I could be bitten, but I have a weak immune system.
Okay.
That can make me sick. But either way, you should just clean the wound and you'll be fine.
If I get bitten by a snake, the first thing I do is run in the house and change my underwear. Well, we're down to the last 20 seconds. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks for having me.
James Anderson, our naturalist, and make sure you take advantage of the Tall Grass Trail and all the wonderful things, programs they have going on, and we will be announcing them throughout the next month. Have a great day, and
you're
be back.
You're listening to WWDH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention.